When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back. So today we got some really sad news this morning. Pro wrestling icon Hulk Hogan dead at 71. It's certainly been covered on the news quite a bit. A lot of news alerts sent out about that as well. Ryan, were you into wrestling as a kid? Was that a thing?
No, I wasn't. I had a lot of friends that were, and I even had some of the action figures because my friends did, Junkyard Dog and some of these rando names, but I wasn't really super into it.
Well, everybody knew Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
That is certain, and he had a bit of a resurgence in this last year of life, and it's a sad thing to hear that he has passed. Real quick, I want to play this clip from Carolyn Leavitt from last week. She was speaking from the White House podium, and let's listen to what she said about President Trump.
The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition.
So Carolyn Leavitt speaking about President Trump and this condition that he has. We are excited to have Dr. Mark Siegel on the show with us. Of course, a senior medical analyst for Fox News, clinical professor of medicine, and a practicing internist at NYU Langone Medical Center. Also, I watched on Outnumbered today. Doctor, thanks for fitting us into your busy schedule this afternoon.
Oh, really great to be on with you, Annie. I'm a fan of your show.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you so much. I wanted to give you the opportunity to comment on the information that was provided after some photographs captured the swollen ankles of President Trump and some bruising on his hands. What kind of concern do you have as a medical professional about this information?
None, given the information that accompanied it. You know, there was a lot of disclosure there, the kind of detail I felt was completely missing from Biden's administration, like regarding the hands. You know, elderly people can have friable tissue of the hands, and you can have capillary leakage, especially if you shake a lot of hands and if you're on aspirin like he is. Aspirin interferes with platelet function and can lead to more bruising. So I think they went out on a limb using that as the explanation, if it was something more serious than that. I mean, you know, the thing that the Biden administration was expert at was obfuscation, not direct lying. I mean, I don't know how they would have handled a direct question with Biden, like, does he have prostate cancer? Or, you know, they seemed to be skirting around things. This was a very direct, hey, this is what it is. Here's the information. We got leg swelling, but here's what we did. We ruled out a blood clot. Mm-hmm. In two ways, by a sound wave test and by a blood test. There's no blood clot. We looked at his heart. His heart's functioning perfectly. It's not heart failure, back up from the heart. We looked at his kidney and liver via blood test. They're normal. So they basically ruled out everything other than what it is, which is a superficial venous problem that's very common in the elderly, especially when people are on their feet all day long, is treated with elevating your legs, which he probably will never do, or compression stockings, which he will probably never do, or they can do a cosmetic procedure with a laser that actually fixes it or makes it more, you know, less uncomfortable. But the point is, they went through much detail to reassure the American public that it's not a large problem, that it's more of a cosmetic one.
You've been probably watching from with a very educated position from afar presidents and their health and watching what they do and noticing things, as I'm sure you notice with people everywhere you go. Do you feel as though the Trump administration might have not overshared, but been very willing to come out and have so much clarity in what they're reporting than maybe Barack Obama, if he would have had some sort of condition like this? Do you feel like there was an effort that had a little bit to do with the lack of transparency of the prior administration?
There's an enormous history of obfuscation and denial of presidential health that goes back to George Washington. And it's almost a culture that changed more recently with the yearly physical. But, you know, Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in office. He was whispering instructions to his wife. He had Spanish flu right before the Treaty of Versailles was signed, which is why Germany got punished so severely, because Wilson was going to defend them. That led to the uprising of the Nazis. You had FDR. Who knows why he went for that last term? He probably switched to Truman, knowing that he wasn't going to survive the term. He had severely high blood pressure. He had heart disease, died of a stroke, uncontrolled high blood pressure. I don't know what we had to treat in those days. Eisenhower was having heart attacks in office. Reagan, you know, lost a lot of his blood when he was shot, and that didn't surface. You know, Nixon, before Watergate, was on all kinds of medications, mood stabilizers. That didn't come out. I mean, I can go on and on here. The thing is that I thought we had turned a corner on that because Bush was pretty revealing of his health. Bush 41, if you recall, there was Halcyon Gate, but he was pretty revealing of his health. And 43 was in great health. And to your question about Obama, I think I don't know what would have happened because I think Obama was in great health. So I don't know what would have happened if he wasn't. But clearly Biden wasn't. And they did everything under the sun to keep us from knowing it. And for me, full disclosure of presidential health is an important part of our democracy. Not everyone sees it that way. Certainly the handlers don't.
Sure. Yeah, everything is political first, of course. So it's about messaging. This would be no different. I did want to ask you, I followed politics very closely. I'm into it. It's like a nerd thing for me and always has been. So I'm blessed to do what I do here. But when it comes to conservative politics, the addition to RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement is kind of an eye opener for me. Dr. Mark Siegel speaking with us right now. I have four kids and I have been trying to feed them the right things their whole life because I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. I don't even know if I ate food until organic food started to be mainstream. We now see a story earlier this week, Coca-Cola to launch new product with cane sugar this fall following Trump push. I'm wondering how excited you are for all of these announcements from these big companies who are making this decision. They're not being forced to do it. They're choosing to do it. If you see any danger in people being like, oh, cane sugar is good, and then, you know, thinking that Coca-Cola is now a healthy option, just wondered your thoughts on that.
I think that Trump is not saying that cane sugar is healthy. He's saying that cane sugar is healthier. And he's saying that if you're going to drink a Coke, this is the Coke you should drink. Because high fructose corn syrup is directly connected to ultra-processed foods. It doesn't remember the corn stalk, is what I like to say. But a cane sugar remembers the cane, the sugar cane. Now, I don't like any added sugar. I think you should be getting your sugar from fruit and vegetables, not from Coca-Cola with sugar in it. But I think it tastes better. I think it's more natural. And I think it's part of the process of getting the fake stuff out. High fructose corn syrup is definitely directly connected to obesity. Is drinking Coca-Cola made with cane sugar? Sure. Also unhealthy. But again, the unhealthy movement is about processed foods and chemicals. And so I'm for this move, provided that it's accompanied with this information. This is more natural, but it's got the same number of calories.
Dr. Siegel, this is Ryan Wiggins. The changes that are being announced by these mega food corporations, is this kind of the low-hanging fruit, or is this stuff that is actually like a step in the right direction?
Step in the right direction, because it's being done voluntarily, which is really interesting. If you put it on the label, warning, 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 like in Europe, that has a different impact. But, you know, right now we're in a climate of can we do this voluntarily and keep the competition going. So in other words, we want a free market system, but the message now is it ain't sexy to eat these chemicals. You know, it looks like it's from outer space. Maybe it belongs in outer space. So it's all about addiction, and I think sugar addiction is the key. So if you have something that looks outlandish, but it's connected with sugar, you don't get, you may get psychologically addicted to the color, but you're getting physically addicted to the sugar that accompanies it. So I think that you can have breakfast cereals, but they need to look a little more bland than this and be healthier. And, you know, a lot of those companies had already started in that direction themselves, to be fair. Kraft Heinz had made mac and cheese without artificial colors way back, you know, years ago, and also Heinz ketchup. So I think some are adding to the bandwagon now, but I think it's very encouraging that it's voluntary. I think the resistance of Mars and M&M's is wrong. I think maybe they know exactly what I'm saying here, that people are buying M&M's because they have a certain look and they're afraid of that look being lost. But that's wrong.
Dr. Mark Siegel, one last question real quick before we let you go. We started this segment here. We talked a little bit about Hulk Hogan, who passed away at 71. So it doesn't seem like this is something that people expected. I just wanted to know if you wanted to comment on that death. Should it be untimely?
Well, because he's the picture of vitality, and he's the picture of strength and wit and youth and fitness. Even at 71, it was like he was ageless. And, you know, he had several operations. I don't know why he had the neck fusion, the spinal fusion. I don't know if that's what happened, if there was a complication. There's rumors about that. You know, did he have a complication of the surgery? You know, don't forget, in the 80s, it was well known that he was, you know, one of the steroid users. And pro wrestlers typically have a short lifespan. So this isn't unusual, but it's something that's disheartening, but a lot of people remember him incredibly well.
Yeah, certainly. Vitality, I like that word. Dr. Mark Siegel, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate your expertise and your time.
Great to be on with you, Annie. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Love talking to him. Gosh, it was like an added sugar conversation for one Ryan Wiggins.
It was a little bit of therapy for me, because I am stopping added sugar during the week. I'm allowing myself to eat it on the weekends.
It's baby steps.
I don't think
exactly.
I don't think that you stop eating it on the week, though, Ryan. I think that you don't eat candy.
No.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Coke Zero or Dr. Pepper Zero. One of the two. They all
you
taste
don't
nasty.
Know.
No, I don't.
Have you tried the zero sugar ones?
Yeah, that's what that is.
Like Pepsi products.
I did have a wild cherry Pepsi Zero that I thought was pretty darn good.
I think that the Pepsi products that are zero sugar are the best zero. I would way rather have Diet Coke than Coke Zero. I can't. Coke Zero tastes like pepper and ashtrays to me.
I can't figure out what I like, because
I know people who really like Coke Zero. I'm just not one of them.
I've been mixing for the last 2 years. I've been mixing zero and regular together to try to wean myself off of regular soda. And now I'm there, and it's still just not as good. But I'm trying, and I am I'm succeeding. This is now, I think, week four of me doing this. So it's going well. I'm losing a little tiny bit of weight, you know, mainly from my brain, I think.
I went to Infinite Vitality this morning. They were on the show yesterday, and I went this morning, and in like 3.5 weeks, I've lost 6 pounds. Excited.
Congratulations.
About that. Got a few more to go.
I've lost less than that.
Well, it's because you don't have infinite vitality.
It's because my brain only weighs a total of 7 pounds, according to the kid from Jerry Maguire.
You subtract your brain from your weight and the show? Just kidding. It's not your brain we want, Ryan. It's your wit.
It's what I look like on camera. You know that's true.
That's exactly why you're on the radio. Let's take a quick break when we come back. I'm going to ask you guys about this YouTube poll. There's a couple other stories that are surfacing here, including one that involves Ghislaine Maxwell. Are we saying Ghislaine? Is that?
Ghislaine.
But I hear both.
Well,
Ghislaine?
I say Ghislaine.
Potato.
I have no sugar cloud in my brain, so I think I'm probably right.
Oh, man. We'll get to the bottom of it next. Took away. Did you see?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
A story about the Federal Reserve. What's the number off the top of my head? Like a $2.1 or $2.5 billion renovation? $2.5 billion renovation. And the Trump administration, they were going to send some staff over to check and see how it was going. And the people at the Fed were like, no. Wow. They're blocking it. And Trump goes, I'm coming at 3 p.m. today. He's going to the Federal Reserve.
He's going
to the place to check on the taxpayer dollar being used to like marbleize the Federal Reserve. Is there, I mean, this is like a metaphor, but it's actually real. Yeah. It's obnoxious. Don't you love that he's like, Dad's going to come by and check your room.
I love it. I love it when I saw this story because that is such an egregious waste of money. $2.5 billion. I saw somebody post this the other day and I had to fact check to see if this was
true. It looks like a B story.
But it does because it's so much money. It's not building a new building. Mm-mm. They're just renovating their offices.
Well,
listen to this stat. You could have built the Dallas Cowboys Stadium twice for the amount that they're spending on their office renovations. Unbelievable.
All we want is chairs.
We just want a couple of working chairs.
When I was out there in D.C. on my vacation, we took a tour around it, and the guy on the tour bus said they've literally taken the foundation out from underneath the building. There is no foundation for the Fed, which I kind of chuckled at myself. But they're
no moral foundation, that's
no,
for sure.
Just but there's just kind of. So like it's so ridiculous. $2.5 billion.
I can't fathom what you could do with that money because it's so crazy.
Yeah.
That you can't, how could you spend that much on one building?
Realistically though, if somebody gave you $5,000 right now, isn't that potentially, not too dramatically, but that could be somewhat life-changing money to just fall in your lap. Like that, you could pay off a debt. You could invest it in fixing something that hasn't been fixed before, that you've been putting off because it's just not money that you have.
Yeah.
Like the concept of money, when we're talking about what happens in reality, where we exist, and then you find out, you know, Rand Paul's been doing it every Festivus for however many years he's been in office, talking about all the dumb things that we spend money on. Elon Musk goes to Washington, Doge is the place, does a great job, but it's still only like scratching the surface, hundreds of billions of dollars that he's able to pull back and claw back for the American people. And it's like, we just got rid of $9 billion, that 9-point whatever rescissions package that defunded Planned Parenthood and NPR and PBS and something. There's talk that there's another rescissions package coming. And guess what that's going to defund? The Department of Education, for certain parts of it.
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, that's what's supposed to be coming up next. But you hear these numbers, and there's a lot of me that's just like, that's nothing. I mean, of course you have to start somewhere. And if it's money that shouldn't be spent, we should not be spending it. So I don't need to hear, oh, we just cut $3 trillion from the budget. That's not gonna happen. Which is why I continue to push on people to trust that we have to grow the economy. Like you can't cut your way out of this problem. You're gonna have to grow it, but you should also cut everywhere that you can. The fact that let me ask you this question: did you have a clean room when you were growing up?
No.
Was it? On a scale of 0 to dumpster fire, how bad was your room growing
5
up?
It wasn't terrible.
Kind of always within
it was
an hour or so of being able to take a little pride in it?
Like my office is now. It's not bad, but I got stuff everywhere because I always need stuff. So
disorganized to the eye, but maybe not to you?
Yes.
What about you, Brad?
My room was a disaster. My mom used the phrase disaster area is how she would describe the room. You would
it
have
was
to kind of like
disaster.
Disaster. Yeah, you would have to wade through my room. So it was bad.
My room was always pristinely clean.
So you were a one on that scale.
No, that's a lie. I just wanted to see. I want my dad to text me and tell me what he just did. He's going to be like, what? Just fell off his chair in the kitchen. No, my room was not clean.
Was it okay once you got past like the cockroaches?
I never had bugs.
Okay.
Wasn't a food person in my room. Okay. Just clothes, which is still, to your point of like having stuff where it makes sense to you, but it doesn't look presentable to other people. Like, I right now have a series of clothes that I, you know, you've talked about how much you wear jeans,
mm-hmm.
one pair of jeans. I have a place in my bedroom right now where I put my clothes that I'm not ready to throw in the laundry, but I don't want to put something that I've worn in a drawer with my stuff that's really clean. Do you put your jeans away?
No, they are draped.
Yes, yeah. in the place that you put them.
In the place.
Like,
the
it's chair. Like, these jeans are still in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still got my belt on them. Now, don't touch
yes.
them.
That's yeah.
how you know.
My keys are in the pocket.
Same.
Don't touch them.
Same.
Did you ever have your parent tell you needed to clean your room in order to go do something?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
When I go to my parents' house, my childhood home, as a 41-year-old mother of four, if I'm sitting in the family room, which is on the main level, and my bedroom was up the stairs immediately above the family room, when I hear my dad walk up those creaky old farmhouse stairs, I get stressed out. Because I know I'm cooked.
Still?
Yes. It's an exercise room now. It's not even a bedroom anymore.
That's amazing that you still have that reaction.
That sound is just like, ugh. Sorry, Dad.
I still do that when summer starts because I used to work at golf courses mm-hmm. and it was so hot all summer, but it was a good job. But I hated it. I hated doing it. So the minute it started to get hot, I'd just go,
and then you're
I
like,
still do it.
I don't have to. I remember one time, long, long time ago, when Katie was still on the show. I think she's the one who talked about the Sunday scaries.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you learn that from her that same time that I did?
Probably.
Are you familiar with the Sunday
Yeah.
Like the idea that Sunday you start freaking out about what's to come Monday. Like I will still every once in a while on Sunday have a, did I do my homework? It's not like that direct of a thought, but it's the feeling, the, oh no. And then, and truthfully, and I'm saying this to you as a listener of this show, it is the greatest pleasure to come here the next day at noon and do the show. It is not just, no, I don't have to study for a test or do homework. It's I get to come into work, which is a wild, wild blessing. But I still every once in a while have that feeling on Sunday. This is like, oh no. Now I'm watching my kids have it. And I'm like, suckas. I'm just kidding.
And now your dad is Donald Trump at the Fed.
That's exactly the point there.
And they're all
making.
Going, oh no, he's coming up the stairs.
They hear Donald Trump walking down. Is that, is it Pennsylvania? I think it isn't. Is it Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Constitution?
The Fed building is?
Yeah.
I want Donald Trump to walk towards the Fed the same way that he walked in front of the church through Lafayette Park. And I want him to hold up a Bible outside the Fed.
Yeah. Right side up.
Just the worst part of it. I loved that moment.
I know.
There were people, I remember listening to people react to that who were conservatives or whatever on the air at the time who thought it was just kind of a photo op or whatever. But he went to the church where these losers were vandalizing it, and he represented the most powerful man on earth, and he held the Bible, which is the most powerful thing in the universe, and he did it while people were like, it was somewhat of a war zone at the time.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh my gosh, is he going to be safe? I thought it was pretty awesome.
I know. The symbolism of it, because it was pure symbolism. That's all it was. Because he wasn't like out there fighting anybody. It was just, he was out there and the people were like, oh, it's just a photo op. Yes, obviously it's a photo op. He's the president
he's
of the United States. That's
yes.
what he does half the time is photo ops. But he's sending a message.
Let's take a quick break. Congressman Boss is going to be with us here in just a minute. Lots to discuss when we return with the representative from Illinois' 12th District. Don't go away.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
With the Halt Fentanyl Act and the Lake and Riley Act, we're making sure American communities are safe from deadly drugs and illegal aliens that have taken far too many lives. The American people asked us for bigger paychecks and more affordable gas and groceries, and we delivered on that, too. We delivered the largest working and middle-class tax cut in the history of the United States, and we've torn down Biden-era regulations like the California EV mandate that was just madness. And worked against working families in American energy dominance.
Speaker Johnson, speaking of just some of the accomplishments that the Congress has gotten done so far in the first 6 months of President Trump's second term of his presidency, but there is certainly a lot more work to do. And we want to speak to Congressman Mike Bost, who's joining us now, the United States Congressman for Illinois' 12th District. He's also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman, thank you for being with us again today. It's good to have you back.
Annie, thanks for having me on. And just so you know, yeah, as he said, Mike Johnson, I was listening to that.
Yeah, so. Yeah, certainly. You know, there's a lot to do left. You guys did a lot in 6 months, but there's a lot more to go. What's the priority?
Okay, several things. Well, there's things with veterans, but right now the most important thing is we got to move forward with our budget. We've got to have it done by September. And the thing is, the House has already moved 60%. And I think you and I have talked about this before. Since the Budget Control Act of 1972, or the Budget Reform Act of 1972, which actually put these 12 different bills we have to move in place, and then they have to be go through the Senate, and that's how you pass the full budget. Only twice since 1972 has all 12 budgets been passed, and that's because certain ones are very, very difficult. And then what you end up having is not a full budget CR, because if you're passing parts of it, then those parts are passed. But you get, unfortunately, when people hold up and play for the perfect instead of the very good, you end up having CRs, which are they're bad, mm-hmm. but they're a whole lot better than a shutting down the government.
So, Congressman, we're talking about the budget. You're saying you have a September deadline on that, correct?
It's the end of September.
The end of September. Is this the thing where is this the same conversation that we're having right up to Christmas when we're like, it looks like Congress is going to be spending Christmas because they pass a CR, just kick the can down the road? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that's what we're talking about. You bet.
A
whole lot of that has to do, I believe that a majority of the bills we will get through the House, okay? But remember, the Senate still has that cloture rule that I talked about. And that what happens is when we as Republicans try to, okay, no, we're not going to expand this much, we're not going to expand this much, to get the Democrats on board in the Senate to get the 60 votes, then all of a sudden, if you're going to actually pass the bill, then all of a sudden they're going to have their requirements, and their requirements usually end up costing us more money in the long run.
Representative Bost, this is Ryan Wiggins. Can you just briefly explain, because even I get lost in the details of this sometimes, the difference between the big, beautiful bill, which to me was a spending bill, and now the budget? Because a lot of people, I think, get confused.
So what the big, beautiful bill is it is a reconciliation, okay? And we will have, like, probably during our time in, if we can hold the House, we can probably do another reconciliation, because what that does is, because it's a reconciliation and not a budget bill, it's the reconciling between the House and the Senate. It does not require the 60 votes before it requires the 51 votes that the normal budget would. And then it only could deal with mandatory spending, And it has to go through this whole, and that gets very wonky. There was a Senator Byrd that passed these certain rules on what it had to do. Then you got a parliamentarian that makes a rule whether it passes the Byrd rules, and that's called the Byrd bath. So basically, that's how many of the things that the House passed over did not qualify under the rules of the Senate, and so those things were removed. But the majority of them stayed, and that's why we got so many things that we did get in that big, beautiful bill in a very positive manner.
You are the chair of the House Veterans Committee. Were there any benefits cut to veterans from the big, beautiful bill?
Absolutely not. No. We have what we've done and what we're trying to do right now is I passed the access out of committee yesterday. There were several bills passed out of committee. Access makes sure there's two bills that have been passed that make it to where our veterans can seek help. If they want to go to the VA, they can go to the VA, but they can also seek help in the community care. And we had the Choice Act years and years ago, then the Commission, then the Mission Act. But each time bureaucrats in the VA choose, matter of fact, we had discovered in an inner email since this administration has taken over that the second in command sent a message out during the Biden administration, don't allow anyone to press the easy button for community care. Mm. We found that in an email that was sent out to everybody. So now the access, basically what it is, shouldn't the veteran, thus the patient, and their doctor be able to make the choice whether they're going into the community or whether they're staying at the VA, whether they have the opportunity to get it into an appointment faster in the community or in the VA. They get to make the choice. That's what this is about. And so we're moving forward with that. But in answer to your first question, there was nothing cut for VA.
Yeah. And I remember you saying this, and it's such an important perspective for people to understand that the VA and what we do as a government is set to actually help veterans, not the bureaucracy that is put into place to take care of the veterans.
Exactly. And the problem is, and matter of fact, this was just the other day. It was the same situation when we were trying to move the bill. Our Democrat colleagues in, and this was yesterday, that's the reason I wasn't on your show yesterday, by the way, because I was chairing the committee while we were trying to move this. Their argument over and over and over again was more about the bureaucracy, and I kept bringing it up. What you're arguing here is you're saying that the veterans aren't really worth us really providing them with the care they need and they want. We're going to do it to make sure that we don't, we want to force them in to the VA. Now, this, all of our bills, and this is a thing that the Democrats have called for years, Republicans want to privatize. No, we don't want to privatize. The VA does a great job. It does some great research, and I'm a big supporter of the VA as it is. But also remember, the VA was created for the veteran. It was not created for the bureaucrats that now understand this. As you said, I think I told you that last month, VA has 477,000 employees. And if somebody and somebody says, well, the staffing may be reduced by as much as 30% in places where you have waste, fraud and abuse. Yes.
Yeah. Quality, not quantity.
Right. Because the thing is, we're spending three times as much as we did 15 years ago, but we have the same problems and the same backlog. And, but we've done some very good expansions with the PACT Act and with the Elizabeth Dole Act. And we're going to continue to work on these issues. I'm actually going Tuesday. I don't know the time yet, but the president is signing one of our bills that we passed that to help our veterans that have trouble with their home loans so they don't get foreclosed on. The problem is Biden created a situation where he wanted the VA to come in and be bankers. Well, government doesn't do a lot of things well, but they sure can't be bankers, because the idea and intent from what was happening there was these homes that the after COVID that our veterans were in the rears on, they were just taking the full loan over at the cost of the taxpayer on an average of about $375,000. And I'm not talking a few of them. I'm talking thousands of them. And we said, no, we are not going to do that. This administration come in. We created the bill, passed it, called the partial claim, so that they're not getting foreclosed on. But it ends up being about $25,000 to help them through the hard time to get them back on track to make their payments again.
We're speaking with Congressman Mike Bost. He's the representative for Illinois' 12th District, chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, so very well-versed in these particular issues. Back to the budget, before we let you go, you said that ideally you have something in place by the end of September, right? And then we don't have to wait up until the Christmas when everything is about to come into the new fiscal year.
That's correct.
Why would it be different this year? Are you guys going to be able to pull this off?
I hope, but I don't know. No, I'm a little frustrated because I have even Republican members that quite often, and I've said this before, I might even agree with them. But the thing is, we still have to have our 218 votes to get it to the Senate. And then all of a sudden, when the Senate comes back, because they're going to have their 60 votes, many of our 218 will look at it and go, no, I'm not voting at all. Well, then that will cause a government shutdown if you don't pass a CR. And so then what ends up happening is then you have Democrats on our side that get an opportunity to put their things in, and then it just crumbles. So pray a lot, work hard, and right now, but remember, we're over 60% of the budget passed in the House already. So we're back into our district and our work period at this time, and then we go back in 1st of September and try to get it done.
So everything, the 60% that the House has passed so far, that has to go to the Senate, and it requires 60 votes in the Senate.
That's correct. But these, just so you know, the 60% that we passed, so it is the MILCOM, which is the military and veterans stuff, that goes through pretty easily because everybody's kind of, there's enough people. Okay, we know what we got to do there.
Right.
The other is the transportation stuff that goes through pretty quickly. There's very few, but it's when you start getting down to the smaller budgets that our administration and everything like this really starts. People start fighting.
Can you pass 60% of it and go with 60% and CR the rest, or is it all or nothing?
Yeah. You can, but people don't. Yeah.
politics.
Yeah.
I understand.
But like I said, remember that. But that's why I can say that. You know, whenever I said that since 1972, all 12 bills have only been passed twice. So I would say that we'll get, sometimes we get 9, sometimes we get 7, sometimes very good chase, you get 10, but you don't get all.
Okay. Well, August will be an interesting month as you all are back in your districts to listen to what the American people have to say. And we will definitely like to hear what's coming up in September. If you're around in August, you can come in. We invite you to come in the studio one time. We'd love to have you.
I appreciate that. We'll see if we can work that out.
Sounds good. Thank you, Congressman. Good to speak with you.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Congressman Mike Bost, Congressman for Illinois' 12th District, Chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Two times since 1971 that they've passed all 12 sections of the budget.
Yeah, that's a little surprising because a lot of the stuff you figure is more modern. That, well, you know, there's no bipartisanship. That goes way back.
Yeah.
I get super annoyed at the butting up to Christmas thing because then we're talking about, like, should Congress stay at work and get the job done through Christmas for the people, or should they go home and lavish in their money and presents? It's like, can we skip that part? And then they get it done, and it's a crap deal.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's like, eh, Christmas, whatever. And then you just move on and you do Christmas.
It fascinates me when, because Mike Bost will talk about this, and a lot of people don't get into the details like he does. When he talks about the way that, okay, we got to get this number of people on board so that it can go here, and then here's what they'll do, and then it comes back to us so that we can do this, but we need 3 people to do that, you know? Like, that stuff, to me, it would be really interesting to be in the room to hear, because you'd always hear, like, well, you send a conservative to Congress, and then they do things you don't want. But a lot of it's that stuff. that gets you get, it gets lost in translation because there's so much process. I don't know. I'm fascinated by that. I don't know that it makes super entertaining radio, but I like to hear it.
Man, there is a clip. There's a video that I saw yesterday, and I'm going to play it for you when we come back. And this is kind of soul-shaking stuff. Another oversight hearing that took place, and they've discovered something about the way that we were handling our immigration system. This involves children, folks. You are going to want to hear this story when we come back. We'll have it right off the top. Don't go away. Ain't no use in complaining.
So you're telling this committee that the Biden administration, while they were letting all of these unaccompanied minors into the country, and as we've talked about today, they weren't keeping track of them, they issued these kids a hotline that they could call if they had trouble with the sponsor family that they were put with? And you're saying that 65,000 calls to this hotline designated to protect these kids went unanswered? Is that what you're telling this committee?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Do you know how many staffers the administration assigned to answering these phones and helping these kids?
One.
One staffer? Any idea how many hours a day this staffer was working?
No.
Maybe that's why there were 65,000 calls that weren't answered from these little kids, huh?
Does that turn your stomach? Turns my stomach. 65,000. That's like, this is like talking, when we were talking about the money that's going into the Fed, $2.5 billion to renovate the Fed over there. What is $2.5 billion? We don't even have a comprehension of that kind of money. 65,000, like how do you have 65,000 calls to a hotline set up for immigrant children to call if they have trouble or problems with their sponsors?
This makes me so mad. I was actually planning on doing a segment this weekend on this topic. This makes me so pissed off because I used to really respect the people on the left who were the bleeding hearts, because they would take an issue like this and make it massive and say, you need to pay attention to this. These are kids. Where the hell are you? Where the hell have you gone if you are a bleeding heart and you think you're empathetic right now to illegal immigration? Where the hell are you on these things? The people you're voting for are making a fool of you by creating stuff like this to play on your empathy, to make you feel like you accomplished something, and then putting one person in charge of the entire hotline and accomplishing nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, what they accomplish is their own political end. And if in politics, the people do things for political gain, and you will regularly ask yourself, at what cost? 65,000 phone calls.
65,000 possible children being abused that they knew were happening, but chose to do nothing about it. Because guess what? You could have staffed that better. But no, you wanted the appearance of helping them without actually helping them.
Yeah, it's just, it's repulsive. It's shocking that we are here, that this is the place where we are. But we are here. If you want to talk about a compassionate country, you can't have systems that cause these types of things to happen. This is not even to mention how many children have just been lost.
Yeah, this is just calls we know of.
Not lost, dead, but just we don't know where they are. Maybe dead. Maybe they're being trafficked. Maybe they're living a wonderful American apple pie life. But I don't think that that's generally the way these stories end up going. It is compassionate to, I don't say close our borders, I say secure our borders. People can come. We have a system set up for that. I'm very open to the conversation about refining that system and updating that system to people, for people who want to be here and want to contribute and are willing to do it out in the open. I'm very encouraging of that. But the system that we set up where we said, come on in, but make sure you do it during through the back door. Make sure you do it. You're going to have to live in the shadows. How tragic is that? 65,000 calls to a hotline that these immigrant children were supposed to call. 65,000 calls unanswered and one person tasked with answering that phone. Horrific. Let's take a quick break. Everyone knows your name.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.